This morning, Kyle picked a topic that I'm hoping is near and dear to everyone's heart, that is internalizing the Word of God. The passage that he read to us in Psalms 119, verse 11, I'd like to thank Kyle for introducing my lesson by reading that verse. In that verse, it begins, "Thy Word I've hidden in my heart." When we think about how we internalize, how we digest, how we meditate upon God's Word, this verse comes to mind often to me. God's Word we must put inside of our hearts. We sing a song, as I was preparing the lesson, I was thinking about a song that talks about going deep, deep, going down, down, going deep down in my heart. And it's talking about God's Word penetrating, going deep inside of us. As we think upon God's Word, as we internalize it, we make it real to our lives. We understand, we comprehend, we put into action the Word of God. It's not just something that we ascribe to as some great thing. It is something that indwells within us. It is something that becomes us. Something that we focus and center our lives, our entire lives upon. Many have spent entire lifetimes studying, meditating, and internalizing God's Word, and they are to be commended. The lesson topic that I chose, not only did we talk about how do we internalize God's Word, but I make a case from Scripture of the benefits and the teaching about internalizing God's Word. We read, "These words shall be on your heart." In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, "These words which I command you today shall be on your heart." We are to chew on God's Word. We are to think upon God's Word. It shall be continuously on our hearts and in our minds. The Bible is something more than you just memorize. Indeed, there are many who could quote entire chapters or entire books they could quote to you just by memorization. But that's not what we're talking about. Sure, it's good to memorize passage. It's good to memorize some scripture, and that is to be commended. But what's more important is that you internalize it, that you make it real, that you bury it deep inside your heart and you follow it. You train your conscience, if you will, after the pattern of Jesus Christ. It is important that we intentionally and purposely internalize God's Word. How do we internalize God's Word? How do we deeply reflect on the meaning and application of a verse or a chapter? How does the truth revealed become a part of you in thought and in deed? God's Word is more powerful than the sword, isn't it? God's Word is more powerful than the United States Army or military. Think about that for a moment. At His Word, He spoke, and the world as it is, came into existence. God created by the power of His Word. God also, by His Word that He wrote down in the Bible, instructs us in the way that we ought to conduct our lives. The truth revealed in God's Word is something we must internalize, become a part of us. Why is the Word of God reflective, intentional, repetitive, ongoing, and relational? God wants nothing more than to have an intense relationship with each one of us, a fellowship that cannot be broken. God wants you to be reflective on His Word. Intentional when you think about it, when you meditate on it. That idea of repetitive, the Word goes around and around in your mind. It It is constantly reminding you the truth, that is, of God's word constantly repeats itself in your mind. Oftentimes we think of a song, don't we, throughout the day. What a wonderful blessing that is to remember the words of a song and its meaning. How often do we repeat in our minds again and again a passage of Scripture or a chapter or perhaps an example that we find in Scripture that we go over and over in our mind. We think, what a great example that was. What a great teaching that God brought to us. What a pleasant thought God puts in our hearts that draws us closer to Him, that points our way to heaven, that paves the path, as it were, that we should follow the footprints of Jesus, His example and His life. This idea is ongoing. It's not just something you do once. You don't say, well, today I've internalized God's word and I'm done. No, it's ongoing. It's continuous. Something you do again and again every single day. Kyle brought this up when he says you must take up your cross daily and follow after me. It's this idea that you must daily internalize God's word, this continuous, ongoing thing. It is relational. If you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to continue and deepen and strengthen your relationship with your Father, internalize His Word. His Word is living, it is powerful, and it is active in your hearts and in your minds. If it's not living and powerful and active in your minds, then it should be. Change your behavior. Internalize God's Word. This idea of treasuring God's Word in our hearts. You think about people who pile up giant treasure, or who build magnificent structures, or write elaborate books. What do they treasure? More importantly, what do you treasure? Hopefully, most of us would say, I treasure God's Word. It's the most powerful. It's the most valued thing in your life. Your life should center on it. It should dwell in thought upon the concepts and examples and the teaching of God's Word. This discipline can give long-term spiritual growth and health like nothing else. Here are some reasons and tips to get you started to internalize God's Word. Makes living God's Word possible. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It transforms the mind and the heart. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We must have a renewing of our minds. Also Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It deepens our intimacy with Jesus. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. It helps us to grow strong and effective in the Word of God, in teaching, in bringing forth the gospel to those who are lost, and being an example of those who look towards Christians as disciples of Christ, to look to you as a Christian and say, that one internalized God's Word. That one rightly divides the truth. That person, I want to be like him or her, just like they want to be like Christ. Helps us to go strong, powerful, and effective in the work of the ministry. It prevents spiritual drift. Have you ever been drawn back into the world or enticed by lust or temptation? A deep, intense relationship with God will keep you centered upon the faith of Jesus Christ. It will keep you centered as a Christian to make sure you're not drawn away or enticed by the things of this world. Treasuring God's Word in your heart will anchor your soul to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus wants you to go to heaven, but if you don't center your life on His Word, on His teaching, then it's impossible. You'll never make it. That's the only way to get to heaven, is to internalize God's Word, internalize His teaching, so that you don't drift back into the world. Paul said it this way. He left behind the things that were like rubbish to him. Things like his family, his heritage, things like monetary things or material things. Instead, he pressed forward to the prize, to the goal. Paul, I believe, was an example of one who did internalize God's Word. It makes sharing it with others possible, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, also Proverbs chapter 22, 17 through 19. Time would fail for us to read all of these wonderful passages, all of them pointing to the same thing. Treasuring God's Word in our hearts helps reveal deception and error. If your life is centered on the Word and its teaching, you'll know immediately when someone's trying to deceive. You'll recognize error and you'll be able to spot it. I recognize that person or that action, that activity is sin. If you have internalized God's Word, if you have a deep understanding of its meaning, it will help you to identify deception and error and teach those who are lost. Teach those who are weak. Edify one another. It gives strength for temptation and sins. In sin, Psalms chapter 119, verses 9 and 11, as we read earlier. You ever have a struggle with a sin? You ever struggle with a temptation? Internalize God's Word. Meditate on it. It will keep your mind focused and sharp where it should be centered. Not thinking about things out in the world. Not thinking about the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye or the boastful part of life. Instead, focused on the Bible, focused on Scripture. We don't have to hold a Bible up or read a passage every moment of every day, but we can think upon it even while we're at work. Even while we're at school, we can meditate upon God's Word and its teaching. It helps you get through the day. It empowers our prayer. John chapter 15, verse 7. That intense relationship that you have with your Lord, that internalizing of His Word will empower your prayer. You will understand the teaching of God. You will understand His plan for you. He will empower your prayer in ways you can't even imagine and make it more effective. We read the example of Elijah, right? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elisha prayed, and it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. That's powerful. Elijah internalized God's Word. Elijah understood the power of prayer. And God's will was carried out through Elijah. And we could cite many references and many examples of individuals in the Bible who internalized God's Word and who had an intense relationship with His Word and with His teaching and carrying out God's will. Psalm 19, verse 7 adds this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." You want to be enlightened? You want to be pure? You want to be wise, even though in mind you may be simple? You want to restore your soul? Internalize the Word of God. The law of the Lord, it says, is perfect. You can't go wrong. You can't make a mistake when you internalize God's Word. You can't be deceived. God's law will uplift you. God's law will restore your soul, as this list just goes on and on. I could stand up here for hours just teaching on that one verse about the benefits of internalizing God's Word. Jesus shows Himself to us through His Word. You want to know more about Jesus, His character, who He was, what kind of a meek man He is? You want to understand more thoroughly the man Jesus, your friend, your Savior, and your Master? It's all revealed right there in the Word of God. It's designed to help us to know Him, to follow Him on the path to eternal life. Jesus works in our hearts to transform and strengthen and direct our lives. But He does so through the Word of God. That's the most powerful concept I want you to understand this morning. Jesus Christ can only direct and strengthen your life by you internalizing, dwelling upon, and adopting the Word of Jesus Christ. As our minds are transformed by internalizing God's Word, our emotions and decisions and actions will also begin to change. Instead of worrying about this, or spending so much time doing that, or loving and clinging to things of this world, our minds will be transformed. Our lives will be changed. We will instead love Christ and cling to His words and His teaching. We will understand that our emotions and our thoughts are directed and purposeful to accomplish Jesus Christ's will in our lives. What a powerful thought that is. That His teaching, that His Word becomes active and living inside of us. Not that there's some magic to it. Not that there's some wonderful change. It's talking about how it directs your life every day. It's talking about the small and the simple things that you choose to do. Whether it's just as simple as giving a drink of water to someone who's in need. In the name of Jesus, it will change that person's perspective. It will help them in such a simple way. Thank you, Roger, for the water. Great example. How do we internalize God's Word? First, you have to make a conscious decision to go for it. Say, I am going to internalize God's Word. You have to be determined to make that a priority. You have to set it forth in your life. I will make time for God every day. I will read upon His Word. I will internalize His Word. I will understand the concepts and precepts taught in God's Word. It is the preemptive thing in my life today, tomorrow, this week. It is a conscious decision. It's something you have to make, number one, as a priority. Making the decision is the first step. Start with a verse that speaks to your life right now, today. This verse or this passage or this chapter really speaks to me. It really draws my attention. It really can help me. Something that can help you today. Reflect deeply on its meaning and its impact in your life. Pray about it. Slowly ask what it is saying to yourself. What does it mean, and what are its implications to me? As you really ponder, as you really think upon that verse or that passage, it will really open up and really become understandable. It will really help you and strengthen you and guide you. Stick the words in your mind and the meaning in your heart. Once you understand what the passage is talking about in context, once you understand how it can help you, once you've prayed about it, once you understand its meaning, dwell upon it. Let it stay there in your mind. Let its meaning well up inside your heart that you can understand the words and the passage and its meaning. Take it with you throughout the day. Don't just read it once and then cast it aside. No. Put it on a card. Put it on a sticky note. Make a note on your phone to remind you. Think about it often. Aim at digestion, not perfection. You're trying to digest the word, not perfect it in your life. Don't be hard on yourself. Oh, well, I failed. I didn't accomplish that today. Don't be hard on yourself. Be happy. Let it sink in deeper in your heart, whatever it takes. Don't be afraid to move on to another verse before that last one is perfected in your life. You will benefit from any effort to internalize that passage or that chapter or that example that we find in Scripture. Now I'd like to shift our focus a little bit and talk about the Bible point of view. Why should we internalize? From God's perspective, why is He trying to convince you to internalize His Word? Why is He trying to convince you, persuade you, show you the benefits of internalizing His Word? Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 15. We read of a group of people who eagerly received the word. It says in Acts chapter 17, 10 through 15, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, not a few Greek women of high standing, as well as men. The Bereans' response to examination of Scripture is notable. It says that they were more noble. Why? Why were they considered more noble than those in Thessalonica? Because of their initial response, certainly. But it was also their continued pursuit to see if these things were so. You see, they intensely studied daily. They examined these things to make sure that these things were true, that these things were in accordance with Scripture. They honestly listened and conducted further personal research. They were very interested. They were intense about their examining of these things, to make thorough research. This led many to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, both Jew and Greek there in Berea. From a biblical perspective, they were more noble and eagerly examined the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, one of my favorite passages. God-breathed scripture is profitable to you. It's profitable for teaching. The definition, or if you will, the thought here about teaching, ideas or principles taught by His authority. It's good for reproof. It's profitable for reproof. That is, rebuke, reprimand, reproach, an expression of blame or disapproval. God's word is profitable for reproof in your life. Where are you going astray? What do you need to correct? It's good for correction. That is, to rectify, putting right. The action or process of making right. What paths in your life do you need to make right? Dwell on Scripture. Meditate on it. Think upon it. It will correct your life. It will show you where you need correction, what you need to put right. Finally, the last part of this passage. It is profitable for instruction in righteousness. And I give this definition in two parts. The first, it's talking about conformity to God's standard of right and wrong. Instruction in righteousness. You can understand right and wrong just from God's word, and that you must conform to it. The second part of this definition, to make righteous. Okay, so first you understand what the will of God is, what the laws of God say. But the latter part of that concept, to make righteous, it's a legal sense of to justify or complete justice. The concept is God makes the laws, right? He decides what's right and wrong, not you. God makes the decision. Righteousness means justification by God's law. So if you conform to his law, you can be made righteous. The idea is one is acquitted, even though he is guilty of sin. In old language, he is made righteous even though he is not righteous. Not one of us can claim moral purity by ourselves. Not one of us can say, well, I am blameless. I have no sin. Not a single one of us can say that. How is it then that instruction in righteousness can make you who are unrighteous righteous? Well, it's through obedience, right? It's your willingness to submit to God's law. It's your willingness to conform to God's law. As Paul said, putting aside, getting away from sin, going away from temptation, and conforming or adopting the law of God as your standard inside your heart, inside your mind. You must obey the truth from the heart. That's the only way you're going to be made righteous altogether. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 10. A great example of a whole entire people, a whole entire nation. Nehemiah the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat, fat, and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." These people who had been astray, who had been in captivity, it says when they heard the word of God, that is, the Old Testament, when it was read to them, they began to weep. They began to cry because they realized they were in sin. They were lost. They needed to come back to and conform with the will and the law and the teaching of God. And it struck their hearts. It pierced them, as it were, that they were wrong. And their emotions carried them to obedience. Their will to obey God's law drove them. And as a testimony to us that they internalized God's word. It wasn't just something they read or glossed over and said, "Yeah, I guess I better change." Or yeah, that sounds great. Maybe I'll follow that when I'm older. They didn't read it and say, "Well, yeah, I guess maybe I better change over the course of time. I guess I'll get better." That testimony that's given there, that they wept when they heard the words of God, they were internalizing it. They registered. They understood their error. And they said, "I got to change right now as a nation. I need to change right now as an individual." As they internalized God's word, as they understood and comprehended its meaning in their lives, they had godly sorrow, intense repentance to get away from their lives as they were previously in captivity and move on with their lives to moral and spiritual purity, to conform and to become righteous again, as we read about earlier. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." Paul perceived Timothy had this faith that dwelt inside of his heart. Can we give that testimony today? Does the faith in God dwell in you as it did in Timothy? Can people around you say, "Yeah, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, The faith of God dwells inside of them. Faith isn't something you carry around in your Bible or in your purse or in your wallet. Faith isn't something you put on your exterior as some kind of form of show. Your faith starts inside of you. Internalizing God's word, believing it, trusting in God, making it part of our lives grows your faith, grows my faith. It helps us as a group here in Waynesville, or as Christians, wherever we are from. It helps us to know that the faith of God dwells inside of us, that we have a responsibility to increase our faith, increase our knowledge concerning God's will. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." Have you ever had someone to you say, "Grow up. It's time to mature. It's time for you to become an adult. It's time for you to put off childhood. It's time for you to put on Christ. It's time for you to grow up in the gospel. It's time for you to become a mature, upstanding Christian." You should long for that pure milk of the word, as a baby desires for the milk of the sustenance that it needs, that you may grow up, that you may grow up spiritually speaking. Internalizing God's word, internalizing that pure spiritual milk, it's the best thing for your soul. It's the very best thing for you to internalize. As Kyle pointed out, it's the best medicine that we have as Christians to help us to grow in Jesus Christ. No matter where your faith is, no matter how strong you are, God's word will make you stronger in your faith. God's word will increase and multiply the benefits of the gospel working through you and in your life. You want to bring more people to Christ? Long for the pure milk of the word. You want to bring more people to Christ? Teach them to long for the pure milk of the word. Our longing should be to understand the word of God. Like pure spiritual milk, it will cause us to grow and gain wisdom and insight in Scripture. We, through internalization of God's word, will grow up into salvation by the Holy Spirit. You see, your salvation isn't secure yet. You must continue to grow. You must continue to increase in wisdom concerning God's word. That's God's requirement. That's not something that I'm just professing. God said you must increase in wisdom and in knowledge and in spirit and in faith, right? Have you internalized God's word? Are you purposely, intentionally internalizing His word? If you have and you are ready to obey the gospel, like the Bereans, please submit to God in baptism. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins." Become His child today. Become a Christian. If you are a Christian and you need to repent of sin, we invite you to come forward now. We will pray with you and pray for you. Come forward now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.